the Rise Up See Red podcast, all about the Arizona Cardinals and the NFL, featuring insider and outsider perspectives. Enjoy the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Now here are your hosts, Jess Root and Seth Cox.
Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Rise Up See Red podcast, the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. I'm your host, Jess Root from CardsWire.com, the USA Today NFL Wire site. We're in episode 484, closing in on episode 500, and it is the first of two preview shows that we will have this week as the Cardinals take on the Atlanta Falcons at home in week 10. It is the return of Kyler Murray. And it is not Seth Cox. He has other family and football duties that he is taking care of. And so I bring back a friend of the show, Blake Murphy, a guy that I've known for years and years and years, does some work with Revenge of the Birds and was host of the Revenge of the Birds podcast and now is back with the Red Bird reboot. Blake, I'm glad to have you back on as we get to, you know, catch up and this is very familiar because, well, aside from the part where we're talking to each other via video and microphone, we regularly talk in our group chats in our group texts.
As they say, it goes down in the group text, but gosh, it was miserable, I think, as far as if anyone was seeing those messages on Sunday. Happy to be here for Kyler Murray's return. This is a big, big game for Cardinals fans.
Yes, it is. And we don't need to talk about the Browns game at all because Seth and I already talked all of that up and down in our last show when we did our reactions. But this is the first of our preview, picks, and prop bets show that Seth and I normally do. And when we get to the prop bets section, I actually have Seth's prop bets to share as well. So he was kind enough to text me those. Well, what we are going to start with, this is the preview part. We want to talk about the Atlanta Falcons, a very curious team over the last couple of years, a team that's playing not with a new quarterback, his going with a different quarterback. The Cardinals lost to the Falcons last year towards the end of the season, 20-19. They face Desmond Ridder as a rookie, but they will not face Desmond Ridder this time as he was hurt against the Tennessee Titans until they turned to Taylor Heinicke, the player they signed this past offseason. An intriguing kind of back end, like a fringe-type starter that you get excited about because he's fun to watch, but a guy that you never want to rest the franchise on his shoulders. So he started last week a colossal collapse, and when we had a Cardinals connection because that was the game that Josh Dobbs, you know, 3 days after, like basically 4 days after he was traded to the Vikings, never got a rep, doesn't even know his teammate's name. He goes out and earns Offensive Player of the Week. What? Offensive Player of the Week leads the Vikings to a victory, 31-28. The Falcons lose to the Vikings after having 2 8-point leads. And Taylor Heinicke will continue to start. And then Arthur Smith that said they will evaluate at the bye week because the Falcons go into their bye after playing the Cardinals. So Blake, let's talk about this Falcons team because they are a team that you look at over the last 2 years and you're like, are they good or are they bad? I'm not sure which they are. And it might be that they might actually be both.
Yeah, I mean, even their record, if you look at that right now, is exactly the same as what we've seen for the Falcons. Like, they're sitting at 500 on the year. Like, this is a team that for every type of good move that they've been able to make, they then end up going and blowing a game to Josh Dobbs and the Vikings in the following week in what was actually a pretty offensive back and forth for the most part. But this has been a team that, like you said, has been an outlier as far as they've not been settled at the quarterback position. They take Desmond Ridder last year and have not really been able to move on from Matt Ryan. Maybe some of that was they wanted to go after the likes of a Deshaun Watson, and when that kind of went out, they seemed like they wanted to pivot to being a run-first team with Bijan Robinson, and yet you watch some of the tape, and it's kind of surprising how they're using some of the personnel, which in one way or another, you can say at least, hey, like, they're at least winning enough games. They're second in the second in a bad NFC South division. But there's so much, at least, that seems like that their team leaves you wanting more. And I think the biggest thing we'll get into some of this show is a lot of these are self-inflicted wounds. Yes. And that's something I think the Cardinals will probably need to take advantage of to be able to win this game.
Yeah, we'll definitely talk about that when we hit the section of our keys and matchups. Yeah, as we'll do in this show, as we do every week for the preview picks and prop bets, is we will spend the first section talking about just the opponent. Second segment, we will look into kind of what we view what the Cardinals need to do specific to this game, matchups that we're looking forward to, and then we'll go into our predictions and picks and then talk about prop bets, because even if the Cardinals end up losing, why not make some money while you're doing it? Which was unfortunately... there was no money to be made on props last week. So sorry about that. That was terrible. Hopefully you were just betting the wins that we gave you from the previous weeks.
As I was saying, that was the one game where I was like, if there's any type of way that I could pick Cleveland to like cover everything, then it probably would have been the decision to make.
I thought the Cardinals were going to cover that game. I thought that with what they did against the Baltimore offense defensively, that they would have been. But what I didn't count on was just, oh my God. Like, people, everyone was saying, why don't they just start Clayton Tune? There's a reason why they didn't start Clayton Tune, and that's the reason why. Wow. Yeah. Wow.
Sometimes you can say, what's the worst that could happen? Like, what's there to lose? And a lot of times, like, we don't think about the fact.
Could it be worse? Oh, I had one of my favorite guys on Twitter likes to give me a hard time because, you know, I kind of align myself with, don't just let the young guys play. Make them earn it. And so you put a veteran guy, and he's, you know, he tweeted at me in the Baltimore game about, but Clayton Tune couldn't be worse, could he? And I said, well, probably. And then during the game against Cleveland, he tweeted back at me a nice gif of like, yep, it could get worse. So,
and I know
shout
people
out.
Have heard
shout
of
out to
Murphy's.
Him.
Yeah, people have heard of Murphy's Law. Now, I call this.
It's not Blake's Law, Murphy's guys. There. It's not Blake Murphy's Law. Yeah. It's another Murphy.
It's another Murphy. Totally different. Now, what I say my version would be is it's not that it can always get worse. It's that it can always get worse, but it doesn't have to. That doesn't mean it will get better. And I think that's the thing, at least for a lot of Cardinals fans now looking at this, though, is, hey, could things get worse for the Arizona Cardinals? Like, they honestly could, and we'd be having a probably very different reaction.
Oh, and we saw that last year. So next week. What happened last year? We could have get worse. Yes, Kyler Murray tore his ACL. Like, there was literally the only thing that you did not like in that sort of season. The only saving grace would be, okay, Kyler. Then he goes and tears his ACL, and then. And so though this season was lost as well. So let's talk about the Atlanta Falcons. Now, you look at that personnel and you would say they should be the league's best running team because, one, they had an incredible rushing attack last year with the combination of Tyler Allgeier and Cordarrelle Patterson. And they added Bijan Robinson with the top 10 pick this year. And they are a good running team, but they're not as good. I mean, they're number nine. They're number nine in rushing this season. And when you have a Tyler Allgeier and a Bijan Robinson, you would think, especially with Arthur Smith, who came from Tennessee, and they had the Derrick Henry, it would make sense that would be their bread and butter. And yet it kind of hasn't been. And Jonathan Gannon described it perfectly, that this looks like a team that they're going to try and ground and pound, and then suddenly they throw it over your head. This is a stat I didn't know, and I couldn't find the actual numbers, but Jonathan Gannon said in one of his press conferences earlier this week, Atlanta is number three in explosives, which are, I believe, defined as run plays of 10 or more, or greater than 10 yards, and pass plays of greater than 15 yards. And so they're number three in the league in explosive plays, and yet they sit at 4-5 on the season, and you don't know exactly what that. They do run the ball well. They're number nine in rushing, and they have They've rushed for 100 yards or more in 7 of their 9 games. They've rushed for 120 or more, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times. But, like, you look at a team like the Cardinals, like, Atlanta has a far more talented rushing roster. The Cardinals are the better, have been, and that's with James Conner missing the last 4 games, is that they produce, excluding last week, a better rushing attack than an Atlanta Falcons team that you would think that. And so, yeah, and so you've got Bijan Robinson, which you would figure, right? He is pacing for 1,000 yards rushing roughly this year. He's averaging 5 yards a carry. That's really good. He's only got 1 touchdown. There's 517 rushing yards so far this season. But still, they're the guy that they lean on the most is Tyler Allgeier. His production, like his efficiency, not very good this year. Averaging 3.2 yards per attempt, 371 yards on 116 carries. He's got 13 more carries in 9 games than Bijan, who has started 8 of 9 games. But he does have 3 touchdowns to Bijan's 1. And Bijan, in fairness, also has a couple of touchdowns through the receiving. So they both scored 3 touchdowns. Bijan adds as well. He's got 28 catches for 197 yards. And that is between the two quarterbacks of Desmond Ridder and Taylor Heinicke. And I kind of haven't figured out who I think Taylor Heinicke reminds me of, other than perhaps a poor man's Gardner Minshew. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but it's also not a good thing to me.
I was going to go with like a Walmart version of Jay Cutler was what I was thinking as far as for a comparison, because you've got a good arm strength. Like we were able to see last week against the Vikings, he pushed the ball downfield to a lot of targets. He was like, I was expecting when I watched the film to see, you know, this under center heavy play action. Instead, I'm watching them go into shotgun and him ripping it downfield. And there's also a lot of carelessness that happens, at least with the ball, as a result of that gunslinging. And that's been one of the biggest stories, I think, of the Falcons this year, is they would see fumbles when they were having Desmond Ridder in. I think he fumbled the ball, I believe, twice to the opposing team while he was, like, at the goal line. It was, like, one of these, like, insane type of stats where you're like, this is not even just bad luck at this point. This is just horrid to have to watch this.
And Bomani Jones, for those of you who know Bomani Jones for his time out there in ESPN and on his own podcast, is that the Falcons will let you down no matter what. And so that's exactly the type of thing where they're going to score a touchdown and fumble the ball as they're about to cross the goal line. But yeah, so and actually, I think I just thought of it. Sam Howell is just the better version of Taylor Heinicke because he does a lot of the same things. So that Washington team that had Taylor Heinicke just got the better version of him in Sam Howell, I think.
Yeah, Sam Howell is very entertaining to watch as a quarterback. Taylor Heinicke is one of those quarterbacks who, for every entertaining play that's made, there's kind of a that was gunned in there behind the receiver, not anywhere close. And that's one of the things, ultimately, I think that's held this Falcons team back, is really that, like you said, they're 9th in running the football. Cardinals are 8th as far as rushing the football. But a lot of it hasn't been necessarily, I think, Arizona's run game so much as the quarterback and seeing their running backs and a lot of that efficiency. Whereas Atlanta, they're essentially treating Tyler Allgeier very similar to how Arizona would run James Conner, going back into a lot of I formation.
Without the efficiency.
The efficiency, there's like an occasional big play, but they've handed him off on the goal line tons. And then you look at Bijan Robinson, who's staying in at times to either pass protect or receiving, and then you'll watch like 1 or 2 times a game he'll just break something loose for the most part, because he'll get a good matchup, he'll either shake a tackle or make a man miss and get downfield. And you realize like this is a team that has also been looking at taking Kyle Pitts, a guy who obviously everyone is like raved about his ability as a pass catcher, and you're watching him as an inline tight end, kind of like blocking for Tyler Algier while Bijan Robinson is running a route outside to go as like a receiver, but the play's not designed to him. Like, he's just pulling a guy away. And this is part of where their head coach, Arthur Smith, he's gotten a lot of flack of people questioning, like, I understand that maybe you can have this idea of like winning games, or maybe this idea of just, you know what, doesn't matter what personnel we do, this is the offense, we're going to get it done. Maybe there's ideas of like trickeration involved. But last week, I think the play that sums up the Falcons the most, and this is also a stat that went along with it too, I think from this is from at Lord Reeves, and it shows that you've got the goal line. Instead of at least handing the ball off to Bijan Robinson, you've got Tyler Algier back there. And instead, they do a jet sweep to Jonnu Smith, who gets tackled for a loss at like the 2-yard line. So you're like, this is something that did not fool the Vikings whatsoever. And it's part of the reason why when you look at them this year, they are 30th in terms of red zone efficiency. So there are a team, and this is kind of backed up by the stats. You're like, they are pretty much 11th in yards per game on offense. In defense, they're 6th in yards allowed, but they're only 25th in points per game. How is it that you've got an efficient offense and a good defense? The answer is you're turning the ball over and you're just not punching it in at the goal line. And that's really been the Falcons' story of the season.
And that turnovers, the turnovers have been really bad. They've had at least one turnover in every game except their season opener. And in 5 of their last 6, they've had at least 2 turnovers. In fact, if you look at it, they have, in their last 6 games, they have 14 giveaways. And it is, and the fact, and look, if you look at that, what are they in those 5 games? They are, in those 6 games, rather, they are 2-4 in those 6 games. And when we get to the you know, the next segment, this is why I am very excited for this game, because the Falcons are talented. They're a team that should win games, but it's a team that the Cardinals, this could be that perfect storm. You get James Conner back, you get Kyler Murray back, and if you look at it defensively, the last 2 weeks, they gave up 28 points to the Titans. 2 weeks ago, they gave up 31 to the Vikings. They gave up 24 to the Commanders. This reminds me of, I can't remember what year it was that the Cardinals had a top 10 defense, like in total defense, but was mid to below average in points allowed, and you realize that they were feasting on bad offenses, and they were just not, they gave up too many points. And so you've got a top 10 defense that's below average in points allowed. Ultimately, like being number one or being top 10 in total defense is great, but if you're not getting teams off the field, I mean, like the Cardinals, they only allowed 200. So there is something to that. Let's look at those Ravens team that the Cardinals faced a couple of weeks ago. The Cardinals gave up 31 points. They held them to 268 yards. And so you're like, how did they score 31 points? But so that's not good. They gave up 31 to the Ravens. Part of that was field position. But then you also look at what the Ravens did the 2 weeks around the Cardinals. They rolled up over 500 yards of offense, both against the Lions, against the Seahawks. And so you've got the Cardinals, which, and some of you look at some of these EPA and these charts, you're like, how are they not losing every game by 5,000 touchdowns?
Because right?
Because their defense somehow is good while bad. And the Falcons have been a good defense. They are a good defense that is also bad. And as opposed to the Cardinals, who have a bad defense that's also good. And that's the thing. So we look at the pass rush, and here's another thing that we go into, is that they lost their best interior defender in Grady Jarrett, who tore his ACL 2 weeks ago. They're getting good pass rush. Like, they're right there in kind of the above average in the league. They've got 19 sacks, and they're getting sacks from all over the place. You've got David Onyemata, who's got 3.5 sacks along with Arnold Ebiketie. Second-year player that both Seth talked about is just an absolute freak. Last year would have been a really good vet, we thought, with the Cardinals. Calais Campbell, still in the NFL. Yes, that would be – remember when the Cardinals decided that he was too old to give a big money to? Yeah, that was – how long is that?
I just have to say something. I was
8 years ago.
So impressed. I was so impressed when watching Calais Campbell last week as well. Like, he got a safety against the Vikings. Yeah. They actually had used him. And this is something about how the Falcons defense, part of how they would seem to be able to utilize him now that they don't have Grady Jarrett. They like to having five guys down on the line to kind of get an extra person there to help protect in the run game. But then they'd also feel fine of dropping eight, and there'd be times where it would look like Calais was either going to drop into coverage, but then he would be like a stunt as far as for getting into the inside. He was getting pressure last week, for the most part, on Josh Dobbs, and so you're like, this is a guy who was playing in the last Cardinals Super Bowl in 2008, who's going to be on the opposing sideline against the Arizona Cardinals in 2023. Yeah. And the fact that he's still playing at a high enough level is just like, that just was boggling to me when watching for how that was. So that's just, can't say enough good things about what Calais is doing. And this is, I believe he said already that this is probably like his final season in the NFL, I believe he said. And the way that he's going out is very reminiscent of J.J. Watt last year. Maybe not statistically yet, but they've really gotten a really good leader on the defensive line in him amidst a bunch of those young rookies up front.
You look at the personnel. You've got some quality on the edge, obviously, and you've got some good defensive backs. I mean, A.J. Terrell, he's not having as good a year as that. Jeff Okuda is very talented, hasn't quite put it all together. Jesse Bates at safety. So you've got talent up front and talent on the back end. You feel like their weakness now with Jared out is kind of that interior. And in the middle of their defense, because they're linebackers, they've got some guys, and it seems like they've had super productive linebackers that just keep letting go, right? It's like Deion Jones, the kid I can't remember. I'm not even trying to pronounce his name. That he went to Jacksonville. The guy that the Cardinals had.
Yeah, and I think Devondre Campbell is someone who's Campbell. Now Packer. Like, they would just seem to get linebackers who would have great seasons, and they would leave, and somehow the Falcons would just find another guy.
And guess what? I think they are, they're getting okay production from their guys in Caden Ellis and Nathan Landman, but it's not the same. I think that is where we're finally seeing that is probably the weak point of their defense is in the middle, which is going to be interesting to see, especially with Grady Jarrett gone. But then there's skill players on offense. I mean, we talked about them. You got Bijan Robinson, you got Tyler Allgeier, you've got Drake London, you've got Kyle Pitts, and so you've got a bunch of guys that can do a lot of things offensively and defensively, and they are yet haven't put it all together because they're getting, as the kids like to say, at best, mid-quarterback play. And yep. they've been stuck in quarterback purgatory because Desmond Ridder, fantastic in college and has a really high ceiling, but just has not been dynamic. And Taylor Heinicke, for the dynamic play, for the excitement that you get from watching him, you were like, what? Why? It's very,
he's
very
been an
fun.
Agent of chaos this
which,
year.
Which makes him really exciting to watch, but he's also a guy you don't want to build around. It's kind of like he is the perfect backup to have, like a Gardner Minshew, because you know that he's going to make plays for a little bit, but then you know it's going to catch up with him. Like Ryan Fitzpatrick was that for a long time in his career. Like that, the whole idea of Fitzmagic, it was magic. Until it wasn't. Gardner Minshew does kind of the same thing. Until they get older in their career and they kind of stabilize. And Heinicke perhaps, and Heinicke's already 30 years old, so maybe he probably won't. so we've got a team that could be better offensively, is good, but could be better. Mike, they're number 11th in yards, but 25th in points. That's bad.
Yeah, and that's they're not converting in the red zone, like we said. And I think we need to talk more about the defense because, you know, for all we talked about last week of going on the road, playing Cleveland is like the number one ranked defense as far as with like yards allowed. The Falcons have not been slouches defensively this year. They're sixth overall in yards allowed, and they're fifth overall as far as passing yards allowed per game. So it's talking about like their top five in terms of stopping teams from passing the ball. They've had, and though maybe obviously this changes without Grady Jarrett, but then you're looking at this team going, okay, if they're so good at stopping the pass, they're decent at stopping the run, why are they like 20th in total points allowed? They're like near the bottom, middle to bottom of the pack in points allowed per game. And it comes back to those turnovers. Their defense is getting stops. They're getting people off the field. And the offense has been handing it right back over to other teams in some of these situations where they're giving up a lot of points despite not giving up a lot of yardage.
Let's move on from that. So coming up next on the Rise of Sierra podcast, Mr. Cardinals Talk on the Web, let's move to the next segment where we talk about the keys for the Cardinals and matchups that we're looking for. That's coming up next on Rise of Sierra. We're back on the Rise of Sierra podcast, Mr. Cardinals Talk on the Web with Blake Murphy from the Redbird Reboot podcast, formerly the Revenge of the Birds podcast. He's done work with Revenge of Birds for a long time. Blake, this guy I've known for a long, long time in my football, in this football work that I've been doing for over a decade now. And let's talk about how the Cardinals can find success. You know, with the return of Kyler Murray and the return especially of James Conner, you feel the Cardinals can have success. In that, and I detailed this. So the Cardinals averaged 22 points per game in the five games that, and it technically was 4.5 games that James Conner played. In the four games that he was out, they've averaged 10.6 points. And you notice how the quarterback play went with Josh Dobbs. The second he got hurt, he was bad. And if we look at the Falcons, each of the last 2 weeks, they've given up 28 points and 31 points. They give 149 rushing yards to Tennessee and 146 to Minnesota Vikings. And the Cardinals have a top 10 rush offense. And they get it from different places. So it's not only James Conner. So that run game will automatically be more dynamic in terms of just running back play. Then you've got the bursts where you can get the big plays from Rondale Moore. You've got the legs of Kyler Murray. And that's one of the things is I wonder how much if they're going to hold back on the running for him or if they will pick and choose spots, because there were a lot of designed runs for Josh Dobbs, and he also did a good job of running and making something out of nothing when either he wasn't comfortable throwing down the field. But I think one of the keys that the Cardinals will have would be to they have to commit to that run, and they need to be able to find the same success that Tennessee and Minnesota did. Obviously, Tennessee's run game is predicated on Derrick Henry first and foremost. You know, he's just a monster. But Minnesota's run game is a different story. They got it from Dobbs. And so James Conner's being back, I'm very excited about. And so I think number one, and that's it feels like we talk about this on the show, Seth and I, if every single week they've got to run the ball, but that is that they need to. Although I will say this, I'm super excited because Kyler, he doesn't need to play out of his mind. I want to see him, like I do want him this season to show moments of touching that ceiling that we've seen him do. But if he does above average quarterback play, we saw Josh Dobbs' ceiling, and it was where the Cardinals could score up, you know, 22 to 28 points. If Kyler Murray, who is clearly a better quarterback, is playing average to above average, and you're still getting the run game, the Cardinals are going to be really, really solid offensively, I think.
Yeah, no, I think that there's no doubt. I think the only question is going to be for a lot of people, like you said, how much of what the production we've seen from Josh Dobbs is going to be something that translates with Kyler Murray when it comes to the run. I think that what you're looking for, obviously, is there's been a lot of throws that Josh Dobbs has missed. As far as I think that there is some stat that I think there was 190 air yards that were there for Marquise Hollywood Brown for 1 week, and he ended up catching, like, I think it was less than 30 of them, I believe.
Yes, yeah, the only time that there was only one down the field completion that I remember was the 25-yard touchdown pass. There's at least five other times when Hollywood had absolutely cooked his defensive back, was wide open down the field, and then Dobbs just missed him. And that's not to say, because guess what? Like, some of the and Doug Farrar did this for Touchdown Wire when the Vikings traded for him, is that Dobbs' deep ball, his in deep ball, statistic was pretty good. He was just really bad at the intermediate stuff.
Right, and that's one of the things I think this offense that you look for, as far as when you're able to see what the offense of Kyler Murray is running in, you know, obviously he's going to be under center more than he's probably ever been in his entire football career, maybe even just in this one game, potentially, because it does sound like, from what Drew Petzing's comments have been, that they believe it was more of a function of the scheme versus a lack of ability when it came to Kyler Murray.
And absolutely, absolutely.
That's a huge thing, I think, at least, to have that commitment, because it means we're not going to be necessarily adjusting our offense because we think this is going to be your strength. We think that your strengths are going to be something that we're fitting in this offense. And I think that when you're looking at what Josh Dobbs essentially did this year, he'd get probably about five or so. I think it was actually, if I look at the season long, he had about 6 yards or so average per carry, would run probably anywhere from like 3 to 7 times a game, at least. I think it was more during the season that he ran and actually took off. If you're someone in Kyler Murray, and if you can at least equal that, like last week, if you want to know the reason why the Vikings lost, Dobbs averaged 9, like every single time he took off, he was basically picking up a first down. Like, he was just making guys miss on some of those plays, but he was getting the ball moved forward and then was able to get the team in position to score. When it comes to what James Conner has done this year with getting a lot more carries, I think that there's two things you want to look for in Arizona. One is making sure that despite whatever is going on with the offensive line, if you can still see them be able to run the ball effectively with James and with Kyler, if you can get 5 yards of carry out of James Conner, get 6 or so out of Kyler Murray, this is not the strongest unit against the run. I think that that would be the biggest key to Arizona's success, would be showing that you're going to have to account for multiple things in this Arizona front, which should include, you know, the bootleg off of play action, how does he look? Those are all different questions. But if the Cardinals can come out and we see Kyler have confidence in being able to, whether it's designed run or even just on a bootleg, that's going to be a huge step forward, because it's going to make the rest of the game so much easier for him against the Falcons.
Absolutely. And now the offensive line is something we got to talk about, because it looks like they're going to be down 3 starters. Thus far, recording on Thursday night, DJ Humphreys hasn't practiced this week. Will Hernandez hasn't practiced this week. Tristan Colon hasn't practiced this week. Now, in 2 of those spots, you feel moderately okay. Because if DJ doesn't play, you've got Kelvin Beachum playing left tackle. He's more than serviceable. He's not dominant, but it's not like DJ's been great this year. You've got Dennis Daly starting at left guard, and I think pretty much if you were to poll anyone watching the Cardinals, kind of that left guard position that they've held with Elijah Wilkinson, Dennis Daly, and Tristan Colon, you probably would say that they're probably all the same guy. And so you're not really losing anything when one replaces the other. They're basically all the same guy in terms of ability. Now, right guard, if Will Hernandez doesn't play, I'm very interested to see what happens there, because the guy that replaced him in the lineup on Sunday was Carter O'Donnell, who hadn't been active all year. And on Thursday, O'Donnell got hurt. So I don't know if he was the guy getting the reps or that were they, because they claimed a center. And I think they were reserving Keith Ismail to be their backup center. But with Kramer there, I wonder if Ismail is going to be the guy who ultimately gets the reps. It'll be interesting to see that. But right guard becomes a position to then watch. And then, obviously, the interior against David Onamiyata then becomes quite important, because you – Yeah. Big questions. And so of all the good timing, it was a really bad. This has been Kyler's luck for the last several years, is that the offensive line cannot stay healthy for him.
Yeah, it feels very much like the timing of getting those two specific injuries. I think you could probably get by with one. It feels like there's been so many interior offensive line injuries this year, specifically at left guard. And again, this is the weakest position on the team. Like, the starter that they had was still a guy who was false starting on third and one occasionally, to the point where, you know, it'd say, all right, let's see what a Tristan Colon has, maybe see what Dennis Daly has when he comes back. But you at least had a steady center, right guard, and right tackle. Paris Johnson, I know, has played, I believe, every single snap on the offensive line this year. He's been their healthiest guy. To lose a guy next to him in Will Hernandez, that's one of those things I think will be concerning, because even without Grady Jarrett, this is a Falcons team that does try to get after the passer. They were able to pressure Josh Dobbs last week. It is, I think, one of those areas where Kyler is not necessarily like, we're not talking trial by fire, like, you know, you've got Myles Garrett on the other side of a backup, but it is definitely going to be pressure that is going to have to face, and he's going to have to deal with it, whether that is through being able to make quick decisions and get rid of the ball or by having to trust his legs. I think it's going to be a very quick approach to see that. And so that's why I feel like, if you're able to develop and design a good game plan that's able to get him out from some of those rushers, maybe it's a moving pocket. I think some of those different places, at least to be able to make sure he's comfortable, especially on that first drive, that's what I think that the Cardinals at least will need to do, because, like you said, I think you can get by with a Kelvin Beachum. You can probably get by with the left guard being how it's been so far this year. It's going to be really difficult, I think, for the most part, and you're going to have to see at least a game plan that's going to take advantage of the strengths they do have with Froholt and Paris Johnson. And honestly, Trey McBride and Jeff Swaim, I think you're hoping that those guys can pick up a lot of the slack in the run game. It's one of those crazy situations
Jeff
of timing, but
has a back injury.
Yeah, and he's the guy that you're looking at as far as, like, so when Kyler's going into, like, this type of a game here, you're like, you know, you got at least a knife back on your Swiss Army knife, but you kind of had three more blades get dulled, it feels like. It's one of those games where I think that it's going to be close no matter what for the most part, and I think that, because at least maybe this is just the feeling or the side of it, is there's a lot of times we can talk about, you know, statistics, a lot of pieces that are there, but there is definitely a form of energy that I think we can see that guys will bring. Best example, I think, was there was a confidence that Josh Dobbs was able to bring last week that really did turn the tide against the Falcons. And the fact that it's an emotional game is going to be something I think to watch for, is how the guys are responding to Kyler Murray. Is someone drops a pass, how is he going to be acting? There's a huge leadership portion, I think, that there is opportunity, at least for the Cardinals. And we've so far seen that from, I think, the coaching staff and the defense early in the season. That's what I'm going to be watching for, honestly, on Sunday, is going to be if he can kind of lift the team to a higher place than what it looks like on paper should be a team that struggles against this Falcons team mightily.
Yeah. And in terms of matchups, I'm interested to see how they deal with the size of Drake London, if they're going to go with primarily Antonio Hamilton. Because so far, it feels like Hamilton has drawn the assignment for the bigger, more physical guys this year. He was the one who was on Odell, as opposed to Marco Wilson. And London is their top pass catcher. At the same time, you look at the Kyle Pitts versus the safeties, however they do that, however the Cardinals, which they kind of group defend the tight ends between their linebackers and safeties. And of course, and we've gotten the production, and I like what we've gotten from the edge so far, but we need to see a little bit more production from the edge as we have in the last couple games. Dennis Gardeck hasn't picked up a sack in, I think, his last five games. Cam Thomas has been nowhere with the pass. Like, he's been, he's made a few nice plays in the run game with tackles for loss, but has been non-existent in the pass rush thus far. And that's what they're going to need, because they need to create. They need to make the Falcons turn the ball over, because the Cardinals will have a hard time enough on their own. They need to take the ball away probably once or twice to be able to kind of do what they need to do. And I think their defense is okay enough. And I think personnel wise they're healthy enough right now. But this is the Falcons have four games of 23 points or more, and a bunch where they've kind of struggled. And so the Cardinals they have a defense that could limit them. And then offensively, we talked about the run game. And let's get Hollywood cooking. Hollywood has been cooking his good defensive backs. Hollywood against AJ Terrell, I think, is going to be a super important matchup. Let's see that happen and get a completion down the field or two. It needs to happen. And I think it's more likely going to happen now with Kyler in there and the way he's been, in practice, at least the way he's throwing the ball. We saw his deep ball was just a little bit off last year. And I'd like to think that this year he's going to bounce back and be more statistically close to what he was for the first 4 years of his career.
Indeed, yeah, I think that will tie into some of the prop bets, especially looking at for just how this Cardinals secondary, we've seen them be strong in the first half, usually come out with a good game plan. And this is, I think, going to be a fascinating matchup, I think, for the coaching perspective, because the Cardinals have come out and have had a good game plan against defenses pretty much every game this season, with the exception of course, of last week's game, I think you can say. Maybe there's no game plan in heaven or hell that would have been able to actually do a thing against the Browns with Clayton Toon. But at least if you're able to kind of get their head coach and play caller in Arthur Smith a bit off of his game, like maybe it's a turnover being forced, or if you're able to kind of draw him into this idea of trying to get the ball away from his playmakers. Because we saw in the Rams, Cardinals knew that the Rams were going to attack those wide receivers. They ended up taking away. You could only limit most of Cooper Kupp. What did the Rams do in the second half? Said, hey, we've got bigger guards than your defensive linemen. We're just going to run the ball down your throat. And they ran it away to a victory. I think that it's something where if you're a Cardinals fan, what you're hoping for is that Arthur Smith, at least, is taking a lot of this criticism, a lot of the places, and is kind of going to be stubborn to the point where you're like, wow, this is Arthur Smith who's had two, like, screen passes and had a three and out versus just handing the ball off to Bijan Robinson, a well-blocked play in the second half. That's one of those things I think we've seen with Arizona, is that if they can come out and be able to actually get a lead to start with to be able to run the ball downhill – and take advantage of some of the, either coaching mishaps. Now, granted, I may say this, and it may turn into that this is the, Bijan Robinson hits all the overs this week because of all of the talk about this, which would be so Cardinals-esque. But I think this is going to be a very interesting matchup, especially because the philosophy in so many different ways for Arizona has been getting the ball to their star players, getting James Conner involved, targeting Hollywood Brown on these deep passes, being able to use some of that play action to hit Trey McBride for yards after catch. That's been something we've seen the Cardinals not having a lot of talent, but their coaches have maximized it to the best of their ability. Meanwhile, on the Falcons side, there's questions if he is maximizing the talent to the best of their ability. That's where I think if you're Arizona, that's the place I think that they could take advantage of if we do see Arthur Smith continue to be a bit stubborn in that approach.
Coming up next on the Rise Up Syria podcast, Mr. of Cardinals Talk on the Web, we move on to talk about our picks, predictions, and prop bets. Your favorite part of the show. That's coming up next on Rise Up Syria. We're back on the Rise Up Syria podcast, Mr. of Cardinals Talk on the Web, for the final segment of the show, which is our picks, predictions, and prop bets, which I think has got to be everybody's favorite part of the show because, one, what do we think is going to happen? And, two, how can we make y'all some money? Let's lead with the props, which then will lead into our predictions. Let me give you what Seth has from DraftKings. Now, again, no sportsbook has an agreement with the show, though anybody out there with any of the sports books, we're available. But Revenge of the Birds is connected with DraftKings and USA Today, the Cards Wire site. They primarily use BetMGM, although we can use FanDuel and stuff like that. So my odds are almost always come from BetMGM. Seth's come from DraftKings, and this is what he's got over at DraftKings. He's got Kyler Murray over 1.5 passing touchdowns at plus 165. That's a really juicy line there. And then Bijan Robinson over 3.5 receptions at plus 130. Also very nice. At least the projected rushing total at DraftKings is far very different than what they've got for Kyler Murray on different ones. He's got Kyler over 12.5 yards. BetMGM has that up to 26.5. And then Kyler's it's not the yards, it's the longest rush. So longest run of over 12.5 yards at minus 105. And I like every single one of those because you look at, you know, they're going to get production in the passing game this week, and I think it's going to be markedly better. I think it's going to be markedly better than we've seen. Bijan with at least 4 catches. Let's look at his game. The last 1, 2, 3, 4. Actually, it's been a little bit. It's been a little bit. So he's been in the last 3. He has not reached 4 receptions, and 4 out of the last 5 he has. But he started off the season with 4 or more receptions in the first 4 games of the season and in 5 of the first 6. So that would be a reversal of what we've seen most recently. And then the Murray over 12.5 yards is the longest rush. We've seen an explosive quarterback run for the Cardinals every single week, and even Clayton Toon. That was really the only positive is that he did use his legs to make some plays. And I think even though that's one of the big questions about Kyler Murray is coming back off the knee injury is how much will they use him? And I think they're at the point now is that, well, if he's good, right, he's right, and they're going to utilize his skill set. So while you might not see him scramble as much, like you might not see him looking to run more, but I think we'll find that he'll probably bust off at least a 15-yarder at some point during the game.
Yeah, I like that prop bet, especially you brought up how the Cardinals at the quarterback position have had a explosive run. In the 8 games that he played, there's 3 times that Josh Dobbs did not have a run of that 12.5 yards or more. One was the very first game of the season that he played, which is just off of the bench with just whatever bare bones playbook he knew. One of those was a game in which he rushed for 2 yards in Cincy, and the other, he was 12 yards against San Francisco. So if you're talking about something that seems like a decent prop bet for the most part, if Kyler Murray does have enough confidence in those legs and he's quicker than Josh Dobbs, I do really like that prop bet as far as the over. The other one I think that's really is, I think when you take a look at how the Cardinals have dealt with receivers, there's 2 that I do like. One of them is, there's a Drake London, which I believe the DraftKings has at over or under 46.5, which is like when you see how wide receivers that are number 1 seem to have a get right game against the Cardinals, which I think the biggest one that comes to mind, of course, is the Ja'Marr Chase game. But Marquise Brown is only at about 53 yards, with his highest being about, I think it was like a 20 yards, I think, or so. I could very easily see Drake London and Hollywood Brown being able to go over, especially if you're talking about what Kyler was like with Hollywood Brown during that 2022 season. That feels like that's undervaluing that connection that the two of those guys have had. And I think that's an easy prop bet to be able to pick, is maybe not the longest reception, but at least being able to bet on Kyler and Hollywood's connection. That feels like that should be some easy money there.
Yeah, I actually, in terms of receiving props, I like both Cardinals, Marquise Brown. I got like Hollywood Brown over 53.5, and Michael Wilson as well. He's only at 35.5. And if there's one thing that we're getting, and I think Kyler will, you know how he loved to throw to Keyshawn Johnson, and then he also, like 2 years ago, how AJ Green's like biggest production was in those downfield passes. I think that will make, I think both Wilson and Hollywood hit the over on their receiving totals. I actually kind of like, and I also, here's the thing. I like Kyler's over in passing yards because it's only at 216.5. And I mean, Josh Dobbs can do that.
We'll see. It's the first game back and they are a tougher pass defense. I'm more curious, at least, because you look at how James Conner's impact is, and it feels very much like they've got it set at 53. Yeah, and it's a 53.5. So my gut feeling is that it's not necessarily that they're thinking that James Conner isn't going to actually get the ball. I wonder if they're looking at the offensive line impact with James Conner. Because I would say that in a normal type of Cardinal situation, you'd probably guess that he could probably go off for about 70 or so yards. It's an average type of rushing defense. I do have a feeling that if there is going to be something that is limiting the Cardinals this week a little bit, it may be that offensive line play. I just think that you're probably going to be looking at a lower offensive game than maybe no one's going to be coming close to 30 points or so. You'll probably have a turnover at one point back and forth. But I do think that we are probably going to end up seeing these teams at least embrace the run because they've got Kyler Murray and James Conner back there. And I do think on the other side, we're probably going to see Bijan Robinson get a few more carries. Now, granted, if I'm wrong there, then I think the Cardinals could walk away with a pretty easy victory, especially if the Falcons are going to say, we're just not going to hand the ball off to our top 10 pick that we drafted at running back. Here's a Jonnu Smith goal line carry for another week in a row. If that's the case, then great. But it does feel like at some point you're probably going to see that. And I think that's what it may come down to, at least, is if these teams are going to be trying to run the ball on each other, that may be an interesting place where it may come down to the offensive line play, and it then may come down to Kyler Murray being able to make plays despite missing some talent there.
And give me – it's not juicy. It's pretty straight. It's minus 110, so it's your basic line there. Taylor Heinicke over half – over 0.5 interceptions. The Cardinals are going to get him once. I think so. I think they're going to get them once at least. The Falcons have been they've been turning the ball over like monsters this season. They've thrown, I believe, 16 interceptions through 9 games. Let me pull that stat up. They have passing. Oh no, it's 7 interceptions. So only 8 touchdown passes. That's not good.
Yeah, no, it's not going to be, I think, the same fireworks the last time the Cardinals played the Falcons. But if you're able to at least see Kyler be able to run the ball efficiently and effectively, then I think that they're going to have an opportunity in this game. It's just you're going to have to make sure you can take care of the ball. It's going to be a difficult placement with that offensive line. And I do think that this could be a game similar to last week with the pastronaut himself, Josh Dobbs, kind of getting that last-minute touchdown for the most part with the Vikings. I could see this game coming down to the wire as well.
And that leads us to prediction time. So we've got the props, time for picks and predictions. I am bullish on this game. Not that I think it'll be a blowout, but I think if there's a game for the Cardinals to get right, this is the Kyler's back, James Conner's back. Even with the questions on the offensive line, you've got the Falcons in a questionable place defensively over the last 2 weeks. I think the Cardinals win this game. It won't be exciting. It'll be I think I got the prediction I wrote on Sunday that came out in Sports Weekly is 24-20. 24-20, the Cardinals come away with a Week 10 win, getting the Cardinals 1-0 with Kyler back in the lineup. I'm excited about that. And I think that comes down to James Conner being very good, holding on. And maybe what we'll see it as well, maybe it'll be a come from behind where they're down 20-17 and Kyler leads him on in a late touchdown. That would be... You know, honestly, that would be the most exciting thing to see because of how bad the Cardinals have been in the second half, to see the second half failures. I wouldn't mind if they, you know, backed into a win where they built a lead and kind of held on toward the end. I don't care how they do it, but it would be really fun if it came down to the wire and Kyler led them down the field for a touchdown.
Yeah, I think that there's an emotional element to this return. It's going to be at home at State Farm Stadium. Fans are probably going to be cheering louder for Kyler than they have in a long time now that they've been able to experience some of what life has been like without the quarterback. I do have a little slight difference on the ending of the game. I think I picked this as also a Cardinals victory. It's really hard for me to be able to pick against this team. They've put a lot of eggs in this basket. They essentially kind of were like, we're going to have to sacrifice Clayton Tune. We're going to have to do the best job that we can to put Kyler in a position to succeed. I have the Cardinals winning this game 23-21, but I have the end of the game coming with the Falcons trying to drive down to get a game-winning field goal. I've got Nick Rallis dialing up a blitz, Taylor Heinicke at least kind of having to chuck a throw that's a little bit inaccurate. And I've got Garrett Williams actually ending the game with a pick, I think would be a awesome ending, just because you'd be talking about not just the rookie ascendancy, but we've seen him get an interception in his first game. We've seen how good of a cornerback he can be. It would be really fun, I think, as if part of Kyler's return is that the team around him is able to step up and secure the win, which is something that we unfortunately haven't seen as much when he's had to carry this team in the past.
So we both predict a Cardinals win. Sounds like we're back. Like, with Kyler back, we're drinking the Kool-Aid, at least for another week.
We're so back. This is how it's going to be. And with three of our five offensive linemen down, we're back.
We're able to bust out the Kool-Aid for a week. For a week, at least, until we see what happens. But, yeah, that'll wrap up this edition of the Rise Up Seared Podcast, Best Era Cardinals Talk on the Web, with episode 484, with Blake Murphy joining me. We will be back. Blake will not be back tomorrow, but I have dropping on Saturday will be my Cardinals Falcons preview with a guest from the Believe in Falcons podcast, but also like Seth, an SB Nation guy, Daniel McFadden from the Falcoholic. So you'll hear me tomorrow if you're subscribed to the show, like you should be. And Seth and I will be back next week. So a big thanks to Blake. Big thanks for Clay, because you can hear me clapping on the microphone. Thank you, Blake. Really appreciate the time. That'll wrap up this edition of the Rise of Seared Podcast. We'll be back soon. Thanks for listening, as always.
Thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Rise Up Seared Podcast. Listen to previous episodes and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Audioboom, or many other podcast platforms, so shows are delivered directly to your mobile device. Please give the show a 5-star rating and always support the sponsors who support the show. We'll be back soon for the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Rise up, Red Sea, be Red Sea Red, and of course, Rise Up, Sea Red.